was Christmas, and I know how many of you guys are out shopping last minute. Any men in the house were doing last minute shopping? Yeah. Aren't guys the worst? Yes. I was telling somebody, I said, man, I was driving around town today, and all I saw was these cars with guys in them by himself. This guy by himself. He had this, nobody told me the store's closed early today. And there's this panic look on her face, like, I got to find something. I got to get my Christmas shopping done. And so you better hope that whatever you can find, you found, right? That's why you got what you got, because your dad waited to the last second. But how many know that at Christmas time, my dad just tell me at Christmas time, he's like, son, he goes, you guys don't even know how good you had it. And my dad was raised by Depression parents who were alive during Depression. And so they were, you know, obviously lived out of the garden a lot of times or whatever they can and that kind of stuff. And he said, son, we were so poor at Christmas. He goes, one year I got a flashlight for Christmas, and the next year I got batteries. And so that's how poor we were. I'm not sure how true that was, but, we really commercialized, and we had traditions. You know, we didn't have a fireplace growing up, and so, you know, we just had like a furnace. You know, I was like, Dad, how's Santa going to come? So I said, Dad, how's Santa going to come through the furnace? You know, and he's like, you don't worry about it. Santa will make his way here. You just go to bed. When you go to sleep, I promise you, he'll be here, you know. And it's like, every year he would ring the doorbell and I'd run out of my room to catch Santa, and they'd be shutting the door saying, bye, you just missed him. I'm like, oh, Dad, I can't believe I just missed him. How'd you let him go? You know, and then as I got older, I was like, well, I'm going out chasing him next year. If I miss him this year, I'm going to chase him. We had snow that year, and I remember my dad had just killed a buck that year for deer season, and so he had a paw left over, you know, one of the out there made paw prints. Look, son, look, the deer prints are right there in the snow. He drew sled, and you know, we have traditions, and those are all fun, and I hope that you enjoy. Nothing wrong with having fun with the man in the red suit, but how many know that it's so important for us to make sure that we teach our children the true meaning of Christmas. You know, people get an uproar. They're like, man, I can't believe this store is not saying Merry Christmas. I can't believe this particular store, this business is taking off their cups Merry Christmas. And people get upset and want to boycott and do all these things. And I just simply say this, that it was never some business's job to shine the light of Christmas. It's our job as Christians to shine the light of Christmas. Amen? So it's our job to teach our children. And if you don't teach them, they'll never know. And so we got to make sure that we take time. So this is my challenge to you this Christmas, moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles, that you take time with your kids to teach them what the true meaning of Christmas is really about. It's okay to have gifts under the tree, and it's okay to have fun and have the big meal and to do all those things. We listen, I know we can get crazy. And some people, you went into debt this Christmas, and that's not a very wise thing, okay? If you went in debt for Christmas, you're losing the true meaning of Christmas, okay? Because it's not about just the gifts. It's about Jesus Christ, the gift to us. And it's about us being together as family. And so we got to make sure we teach our children the true value and the meaning of Christmas. So how do you do that? Let me encourage you tonight, before maybe you get together tonight, or maybe in the morning when you open up your presents, that before you open up any presents, to open up the Bible, the Luke chapter 2. And as a family, read Luke chapter 2, the Christmas story. Maybe the patriarch of the family can read that, or maybe the overachiever kid who likes to read a 6 can read that. That's fine, okay? They can read that and have your kids give the story, ask questions, let them give their interpretation. I mean, some of the greatest Christmas memories is my kids tell me their version of the shepherds and the wise men and the nativity scene and all that. You know, and this has come up with some of the craziest things, and we talk about it, and we laugh, and we always bring it back and talk about the true meaning of Christmas. And then we pray together as a family. And I can tell you another tradition we started a while back, and it's been one of my favorite things we do. I have 5 children at home, and those of you who have multiple children in the house, you understand when I say this, that siblings can be very brutal sometimes to each other. Any parents understand what I'm talking about? Okay. I guess my kids are the only heathens in the room. Okay. That can be kind of brutal. And so what I like to do is we just take time before we open up any gifts, and we go around the room. We just take turns. We go to each kid, and everybody goes around the room and just says what they love about that person. And it's been like a really cool thing. And you can just see all their smiles coming back, and you can see their spirits lifting up and feeling their self-esteem building up when they hear all these people talking about how good they are about something, what they love about that person. And then when we get done, everybody feels good, you know, and there's a mom and dad over here trying to fight back the tears. Like, who are you? I love you. This is my kids. Yes. Finally, they get it, you know. But what I always like to share is, you know, what's important about Christmas is, first of all, is Jesus Christ came to us as a baby in a manger to bring salvation to the world. Don't ever forget. Tell my kids, don't ever forget. This is what Christmas is about. If we miss this, we miss Christmas. And then I look at him and say, it doesn't make a difference if we have a lot of presents on the tree or there's no presents on the tree. That when we have each other as family, this is what's really important. And what we did right now, this is important. Don't lose that. Your friends are going to come, your friends are going to go, but your family's going to be here with you. And so, you know, I challenge you this Christmas to do the same with your family. Find traditions that work for you. Maybe you already had traditions that are similar. Good for you. If you don't, this will be a great year to start some of those traditions. Pastor, I wish I'd done that when my kids were younger. Well, you could start a new generation. Start with your grandkids or your nieces and nephews or whoever. Start something new and just say, you know what? We're going to go back to keeping Christmas what really means to be Christmas and keeping that value. In just a few minutes, we're going to take communion together. You know, I love the fact that Luke chapter 2 says that the angel appeared to the shepherds on the hillside in the dark of the night. And they were afraid. They said, the angel said, don't be afraid. For I bring you good news of tidings of joy. Tidings of joy. The good news of this, that the Savior, born to you this day, the Savior has come to the world. Born to us this day, the Savior has come for the whole world. This is for us today. And if you miss the fact that in our darkest hour, that Jesus comes to us. See, this is what Christmas is about. It's about the hope that in our darkness, that Christmas comes to us, that Jesus comes to us, that when we feel like we need answers, Jesus comes to us. When we feel like we've been abandoned, Jesus comes to us. When we feel like we've blown it, Jesus comes to us. When we feel alone, he comes to us. And he comes to us and he says, I bring you the great news. Born to you this day is a Savior. In the city of David, a Savior has come. This is what Christmas is about. And if we don't take time just to stop and say, Lord, I remember on that night that you came to bring salvation to the world. Let me give you a little insight today. You say, Pastor, why is Christmas really such a big deal? It is a big deal. Number one, well, I don't know, Pastor. People nowadays are saying that, you know, Jesus wasn't a big deal. We need to get God out of this and God out of this and God out of this, and let's keep separation of church and state and all these different things, and we just seem to be moving further and further away from our Christian values as a nation. And let me just simply tell you this, that today remind you that you can't validate anything without signing the date that 2016 years ago a man came and changed the course the way we keep time. He was so important that he came and he changed the way we keep our time. It must have been a man who changed the world, the impact of the world. So today, the government refuses to legalize anything we do if we don't put his birthday down on there. And people realize it was a big deal that Jesus came. It was a really, really big deal that Jesus came. And you want to know what the big deal about Christmas is? I'm going to give you the insight. Okay, you ready? This is a big secret about Christmas. The big deal about Christmas is this. It's about us. Some of you go like, man, Pastor, I don't like the way that sounds. Christmas is not about me. It's about him. You're right. It is about Jesus. And it is about the baby coming and growing and dying on the cross for us. But remember this, that if we didn't need a Savior, the Father would have never sent his Son. Born to us this day, a Savior has come. See, what the big deal about Christmas is that I needed a Savior. You needed a Savior. And that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. This is the big deal of Christmas, that we needed a Savior. And God loved us so much that he sent his Son to be our Savior. That this Son would grow up. He would take upon us. It says that he took upon the cross the weight of the world's sins, gave himself up, I'm going to ask our section leaders to begin to pass out our communion trays. You're going to receive a communion cup there. Very carefully, you can peel the top of that back. You'll see at the very front of that, you'll see a small piece of bread. And at the back, you'll see the juice there waiting for you. Just be careful when you pull that open. That juice doesn't go flying on your neighbor, okay? Be very careful. As you open that up, I'm going to ask you to hold that. We're going to sing a chorus here in a second as we're passing these out. Then we're going to come back together. We're going to pray over the Lord's table together and take communion, okay? So as they pass them out, let's sing this song. You as well.